What's up, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 3 of Falcons in Focus. Woo. I'm Scott Baird. That's Tori McElhaney. You all know who this guy is. He's Richie frickin' Grant.
How everybody doing?
Safety for the Atlanta Falcons, Central Florida alum. Mm-hmm. And Richie, we're going to start with a pretty serious... Tori and I are seasoned journalists, so we're going to start with a hard-hitting question right here that we want to know about your mouthpiece. Right? Because sometimes it's normal. Sometimes it's normal. Sometimes it looks like a junkyard dog. Sometimes it has like a grill on it. Sometimes it has like maybe all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Give us the origin story of where the mouthpiece come from.
What's this guy's name, man? It was a quarterback I had in at UCF. I think his name was Cruz Chick or something like that. But he had these wristbands, like a huge bag of them. And I didn't know, I mean, not the wristbands, but the mouthpiece, the huge bag of them. I didn't know like who they were from or anything like that. But I seen all the designs on there. I'm like, I'm finna spice it up this year. I said, give me two of those, man. So he threw me two of them. He threw me a white one and like a pink one. I never wore the pink one. But the white one is one I still wear to this day. Not the same mouthpiece, obviously.
Same design.
The same design. Good. Yeah, so there we go. Same design. So it's like a little... white mouthpiece with skull teeth on there.
Yeah,
that's the one that we were looking
at. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
It was this picture was zoomed up on you like really close, and I was like, I would not want to run it that day.
Hey, funny story about that though. My coach in college, man, my DB coach. So one day, you know, it was practice was going kind of bad, whatever. And we watching a film. We watching a film at the practice, and he was like, "Why are you smiling?" Like, coach, I'm not smiling. I was mad like you. Like, you know, we not performing. He was like, I see you right there. You smiling. I was like, coach, that's my mouthpiece, man.
Like, put your glasses on,
like,
man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my mouthpiece or whatever. But yeah, that's a funny little story about that mouthpiece, though.
Yeah, no, we love, because when we were prepping for this podcast, we were like, what can we start the podcast off with? And we both were like, immediately saw those pictures, some pictures, and we're like, no, those are fire.
The gold one is new, though. I just got that one last season because I lost my white one.
So, I see.
Yeah, they got me another one. But the gold one was nice, though.
The gold, it really handy. Pops.
Yeah, it came
looks
in handy.
Looks good. Yeah. Okay, so next question. Talking about the whole swag, that of which I feel like this secondary has.
Yeah, we got some swag.
I really think this group is very fun to watch. Mm. I really like watching, interacting with one another. I like watching you and Hawk and D-Hall, like, just hang around each other. What's y'all's relationship like? And it seems crazy from the outside looking.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know how to describe it to you. You know, it's just a lot of hugging, a lot of dancing, a lot of, ish talking.
Who's a lot the best of dancing. Dancer? Who's the best dancer?
The best dancer? Dang, I'm out of that competition. Let me see. it got to be Hawker. Hawker D Hall, they dance the most, so you practicing it all the time. You gotta be good at it, but
you gotta be good at it.
Yeah, you gotta be good at it. I don't, that's not my lane. But I watch them boys do their little thing.
But see, I like that you said both of them. So when those guys listen to the podcast, you haven't sided with one and pissed off the other. It's a smart move,
right?
All right, let's go.
We're
back
gonna move on because I've been wanting to ask you this question for a very very long time because I was actually on your. When you were drafted, it was the night you were drafted, and it was your press conference after you were drafted. And for those that don't know, it was very emotional. Mm-hmm. But what people don't know is that, like, when you were drafted, like, COVID protocols were, like, pretty intense. Like, we couldn't really, like, do a lot. But so everything was over Zoom. But it was so funny because I believe it was, like, one of our comms people kept coming up and saying, like, we're trying to get Richie, but like everybody's really excited. He has a ton of people. And then in that press conference, I remember hearing people like in the background, just like being like, here you are like in the corner, just like trying to process this. And everybody is just like loud and excited.
Like losing their minds.
What was that night like with your family and friends? Because it seemed like it was so much fun.
It was like, that that one video when Kevin Garnett was like, we're going to Disney World.
Yeah.
Like, that's the excitement I had, man. Like, I had like 40 people in that house with me. Like 40 people, all family members, some friends, some of the ones I grew up with. But so I got the call. I'm on the phone call. Mm. Everybody's quiet, whatever. I'm talking to coach. I'm talking to T. I'm just talking to everybody. Hang up. The moment was just like,
Like out of body experience.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm really here right now? Like, yeah. I just got on the phone with the Falcons. Like, that's real? So, you know, I had to ask my brother, like, the Falcons? Like, oh, man, let's go. So, you know, we stayed quiet until my little time came on the TV. But after they called my name on the TV, it was just a party from there. Like, it was so fun, man. And everybody just, you know, just showing me love. And we was talking about the journey. Mm-hmm. Like I said my little prayer after the TV went off. You know, I cried like a baby or whatever. But finally, after those tears, we partied some more. So it was a super fun night, man. Everybody I love was around me. Got a bunch of calls, a bunch of text messages. So it was a really blessed night.
I love that.
I mean, that's kind of how you hope that it is, right? You have mm-hmm. everybody who you have proved right? They all thought mm-hmm. you were going to be an NFL mm-hmm. player, an NFL star, and then bang, the phone call comes.
That's crazy.
The lone real football question in this whole thing.
Yeah, this
is
really it.
is that you go back through the pre-draft process mm-hmm. and you cannot type in Richie Grant into a Google search without the Senior Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. Yeah.
Ooh,
and it
man.
Was like Senior Bowl star, like the week just sent him like a rocket ship. So it came up so much that I can't not ask you mm-hmm. about that week and what that week, I don't know what your mindset was going into it, but what came out of it was pretty awesome. So give me a thought about what you were going through mentally going mm-hmm. into that thing because
yeah.
it turned out so well for you.
Honestly, man, just a bunch of question marks, like
yeah.
in terms of what they spit that week, but I'm so grateful for that invite because that like, I was already on the way, but that changed the whole course of my draft process.
Absolutely.
Like that Senior Bowl, like I mean, yeah, my name was out there, you know, people was talking, I was getting phone calls, but that Senior Bowl week was like probably one of the most important weeks I had in the whole draft process. Going into it, not knowing what to expect, but talk to my teammate Aaron Robinson, with the Giants, shout out to him. But talk to him, we was just like, man, like supposed to be the best of the best. So let's just go out here and, you know, and do what we do. We had faith in our abilities. But the weird thing was we were training for the combine at the time. So, you know, my body was sore.
Yeah.
Like we were right in the beginning of training for the combine. So you putting all these new lifts on and all this new running conditioning. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to go perform, you know, uh-huh. in front of all these guys and teams. You know what I'm saying? I got to play the best of the best.
Yeah.
Body feeling like this. Whatever. Let's go. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Ain't got time for that. No excuses. So showed up that week, you know, shaking everybody's hands. I'm like, okay. First night, I'm like, I'm going to guard him, guard him, guard him. Like, you know, in my head, I'm like, okay, I see who here, all right, da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then first practice, man, I said my prayer, and I just wanted to have fun competing. And mm-hmm. I think I did exactly that. And every single day, it unfolded that way. So
it was really crazy great. Because it was like the name Richie Grant before the Senior Bowl, mm-hmm. very different than the name Richie Grant after the Senior Bowl. And I thought that was very fascinating because not a lot of people can say like that one week really kind of changed the trajectory.
Right.
But for you, it kind of was that.
It definitely gave me a little boost. Like mm-hmm. it gave me a boost and I noticed it, you know what I mean? But try to stay humble and just keep working.
Yeah.
You know?
One of my favorite quotes that you've ever said, and we talk to you quite often, but one of your favorite ones, it was when we were talking to you probably early training camp last year, mm-hmm. and you said, and I have it written down.
Let's hear
you
it.
You said, I've always been a guy who bit off more than I can chew.
Oh, yeah.
I learned.
Knew that one right away.
Yeah. I learned at an early age you can't grow unless you're put in uncomfortable spots mm-hmm. to get better. I feel like that is a very specific quote, and I need to know, like, what situation you went through that you felt like, this is way more than I can chew, and I've got to be uncomfortable, I've got to push forward.
You know what, man? I think it's just that that competitiveness in me, maybe. Like, you know, I had all my cousins. We all lived in the same house growing up. And, you know, you're gonna compete. You know, we're playing tackle football on our knees, all
sure.
types of stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I always wanted to – we playing as teams, but I always wanted to be on my own team because I knew I could depend on myself. So I said, you know what? All y'all get on that side. I'm going to get on this side, and I'm going to try to score the touchdown. So I invented a whole new game, you know. So this started at an early age in terms of, like, uncomfortable positions because I just wanted to win. Like, how far can I push myself? You know what I mean? And it was so innocent back then, but now it's, like, it's actually, you know, it's a purpose behind it. But still, though, I had to learn, like, okay, you can push yourself, but it's a limit. You know what I mean? So challenge, but like I said, mm-hmm. biting off more than you can chew, it'll bite you in the butt. So that's why I learned that from.
I mean, when you're going up against, I mean, however many sixth, seventh, fifth grade cousins, like, oh, probably. Yeah.
We got down and dirty. Yeah.
That's really what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
that's
we did.
And it's crazy because you're not the only grand who's pretty good at football, right?
Yeah.
You have an Uncle Terry that wasn't half bad at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, he got a little freshman record over there for touchdowns, yeah.
As a kid growing up with somebody like that, and of course, he went to Bama, but I think he was Mr. Mississippi a couple of times, right?
Two or three. Yeah.
Right, so we're talking about an athlete at the sport that you want to play. Like, what was it like to have that, I don't know, example, role model, even when he was in high school,
right.
I would assume, right?
Right.
Were you out watching his games in high school?
What? I watched his film to 3, 4, 5 in the morning every night. Like, as a kid, all I want to do is watch his highlights. And he used to be so mad. Like, you want to watch him again? I'm like, put him in. I want to watch him again. We want to watch him again. So, but he played a way bigger role than just that football part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, my uncle was like the dad. You know what I mean? All these cousins and my siblings I talk about, we all in that one trailer or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was like the dad to all of us. So I just wanted to get to a level he did. You know, growing up, even shooting stars coming across the sky, I'm like, please just make me like my uncle. You know what I mean? I want to be successful. I want to be, you know, a leader. I want to be like a proud father figure. You know what I mean? Just a role model. And that's what he was for me. So I didn't want to disappoint him. So every summer we went up there when he was at Bama, me, my cousin, lives in Mississippi, and my little brother, we went to Bama, stayed with him for like 2 months. And we would like work out every day. Uh-huh. You know, he pushing up. We little kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, old were y'all?
Because
it wasn't that like, it was like 2006, like 2009.
Yeah, so I was like.
You were probably like 6 to 9 years old, right?
I had to be at least like eight.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it was instilled in me so early because I'm like, man, this dude is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody love him. You know what I mean? He gets so much respect. And I'm like, what is he doing? So he just a respectful guy, and he worked hard. I'm like, I can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can do what he doing. So that's where it started, and those building blocks, you know, it just created who I am today.
I love that because one of the things that when we were researching for this podcast, I came across a quote that said, you know, you were talking about Terry, and you were like, he's someone who kept me out of trouble, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but you were like, he's the highest character man that I had to look up to.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's such a compliment to someone to hear that. I mean, what does he mean to you even like now that you're in the NFL and you're playing?
So back then, you know, being a kid, I moved out of Mississippi as a kid, moved to Florida, but we went to Mississippi every single weekend, and Most of the time it was to go watch him on Friday night.
Mm.
So at the school, we getting on the road. You know, me and my grandma, we getting on the road to go watch him play or whatever. But seeing him, hold on, say that question one more time.
Yeah, no, just like when you were talking about like him saying like you said about him like the highest character man you had to look up.
So that's where I was going. So seeing him like at that early age, you know, when you're in a room with like let's say Michael Jackson or somebody walked in here. That's Michael. Like, I can't believe I'm in the presence of Michael.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to faint almost. So that's how I felt my uncle. Like, that's my uncle? Like, really? Like, I get to claim him, stuff like that. But, it, you know, as I got older, it turned to more like, what's up, Uncle? Like, how you doing, man? But he still plays that father role, you know, that father figure. And I lean on him so much, you know, for advice because he's been down this road, you know, football and just being somebody that everybody looks up to,
right.
You know, a role model. And he been in this role so long, and he was the first one to do it with no help. So I'm like, man, like, you're so strong, and where you getting all that from? So now I'm just picking his brain, and I've been doing that for years, and it's been helping me, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I got to a good point in my life. Obviously, I want to go further, but now the roles kind of reversed. So he didn't get to go to the NFL.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He played in the CFL for 2 years.
Right.
So now he's watching my journey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's seeing all these things. He's asking me questions, and he want to be involved in every part. And I'm like, man, like, look how life works. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like full circle.
Yeah, it's
it
full
really
circle.
Is.
He brought me here, and now I get to bring him along.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So I love it, dog. I love
it. So, like, when you went to see him when he was at Bama, do you have any stories from, like, when – like anybody you met while you were there? I mean, I feel
because those teams were loaded.
Nick Saban had so many first rounders.
So many.
Man,
all the first rounders.
Used to be in those locker room. You know, I can't tell all the stories, but we used to be in the locker room, man. I done met Kareem Jackson. Julio Jones. I met Julio when he was a freshman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was teaching me and my little brother how to play the it was the 40-yard dash on the PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. way back then. But yeah, he was teaching us how to do that. I met Julio, Mark, Terrence Cody. I don't even know if you remember Terrence Cody, big dude.
Yeah, huge.
Just say I done met everybody from, from 2006 to 2010. I done met
you
everybody.
Met them all.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
I don't know if they remember me, but I remember them.
I'm sure if you ever come across them on the other side of the line of scrimmage, yeah, you'll might. Be like, "Hey, I
did
saw
Julio
you.
Remember Wait. You?"
I don't know if see,
see
right before
got
I got here.
Him,
you know,
yeah.
That
oh
happened,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Another chance to meet him, but
oh man.
But in Tampa, maybe you could.
I mean,
hey,
yeah,
man,
you'll get to see, play him
talk to the 40-yard dash.
You know, between the line, you know, that's,
okay, yeah,
you
know, yeah.
That's
yeah
right. After the game, you know, we'll talk. But between after the line, it probably ain't gonna be too much talking. You know,
yeah.
That's
but,
how the game go.
So as we're kind of wrapping this thing up, I got to ask you about something that's not on your wrist right now.
Okay.
And that's because there was a press conference last year where you told us a cool story about you wore two wristbands for like I don't know ever.
Since like your sophomore year in college,
right?
Yeah.
If I got it right, it was.
Probably.
It was above the line.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's more.
And always compete.
Always compete.
Always compete.
There Woo! We go. And got you had right. a third one that you gave to
I gave,
your sister.
Yep, I gave
yeah.
her.
I remember that yep. too. Yeah.
Yeah. So he finally took them off.
Took them off.
After all those
like
years.
5 months ago. Finally took them off, man. It took
but,
me a long time, though.
But, like, were they nice reminders like while they were there just you know because in college they were kind of slogans of
right.
of yours right
yeah so Coach Shannon man love Coach Shannon he coached me at UCF for 2 years him and his staff they just had this idea you know like let's reward guys for doing what they're supposed to be doing like or going the extra you know going above and it kind of kept people in line you know we young we want a reward system you know what I mean so it started with t-shirts and it was with the GPA. So your GPA had to be above a certain thing. Or if you had the highest GPA in your position group, you'd get rewarded. And then it went to on the field. So now it's finishing the play, you know, not loafing. Or making it to class on time. You know, you don't have any late or unexcused absences. It's all those types of things. And then the second year, he came out with some cool. I'm like, above the line, always compete. I'm like, you know what? I used to write little stuff on my wristband in Pee-wee.
Yeah.
You know, that just helped me remember, okay, go hard, don't walk. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Just stuff like that, all type of stuff. So above the line, always compete. I'm like, that's what you need to do in football. You know, being above the line, people who don't understand, being above the line just means like if the whole team is finishing a drill and then you got like two guys who loafing in the back or they don't finish through the line.
Right.
Okay, everybody's above the line, but those two guys are not. Uh-huh. We trying to get everybody on this side of the line,
that
you know what
sense.
I mean?
Yeah.
If everybody's on this side of the line, then we're going the right way, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we can trust everybody to do what they're supposed to do. And that, you know, those wristbands were a simple reminder of that, you know what I mean? It was just, I guess the leader in me, like, hey,
yeah.
you took the wristband, hey, y'all get right now, accountability, yeah. you know what I mean?
It's so, like checking yourself.
Yeah, it
yeah.
was just keeping me accountable too.
There
so
you
that
go.
Was a good little reminder.
So all to right. wrap up yeah. the podcast, unfortunately, we have to wrap up.
It's I don't even want to wrap
so,
it up.
I know. We don't even yeah. want to wrap. We can keep going for like yeah. another hour. But so we, at the end of every episode, we play a game.
Okay.
It's like a rapid fire type of game. We ask the same questions for everybody. However, we have one question in here that's just specifically for you.
Okay.
Because we heard that you're really big into karaoke.
Oh, man, don't do that to me.
We're not
no,
going
no,
to make you sing.
You
we're
don't have to
sing.
Sing. Don't worry. We would never do that. But
well, we might.
We
but,
might.
But not this time.
Not right now. Maybe
we want you to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it to me.
Yeah, no, no, no.
I've been yelling calls all
No. You're good. So just so you know, there
okay.
is a question about karaoke
okay.
coming.
Right.
But the first question is a simple one. What is your favorite play ever in your career?
Ooh, man.
I feel like sometimes that's really hard because there are so many
yeah.
plays.
So like we go as a Falcon, as a Knight. It's up to you.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go ahead and then be specific. Okay. As a Knight, my very first turnover in college, it was kind of to seal the game. You know, we was playing our rival USF. They were driving down. I got a forced fumble. That was my very first turnover. I had went an entire year on like being a red shirt. So, you know, I'm making plays in practice. I'm like, this is college. Like, how am I going to play in the game? And I got that turnover. I was like, I can do this.
Right.
We can
that
do it.
Sense.
I can
love
do it.
That.
What was the last movie that you saw? Even if it's embarrassing, you still got to say it.
Nah, I'll be truthful. The last movie I watched, I think it was Gray Man. Yeah, I think it was Gray Man, that new movie that came out. I just wanted to
was
check
it
out.
I like
was it.
Pretty awesome. I like action. I like thrillers. So yeah. You know, right up there.
I'm really big into the MCU, like Marvel movies. I'm with you on stuff. MCU now. Ooh, love it. This is the question. What is your go-to karaoke song? The one that you could get up and do without thinking.
Mario, Let Me Love You.
Oh,
hey, that's a classic, dog.
Yes.
That's a classic. That's a classic. Oh my God. I actually did that one time at a karaoke night. That was my first time. I was in front of all these strangers. I'm like, I'm not going up there, bro. I'm not going up there. And then my homie, they was like, man, just go up there, man. You know, you only live once. I'm like, I'm going up there, man. I went up there. I killed that jump. Like, I'm finna start doing this every weekend.
Honestly, brought the house down.
Man, I killed that.
It was like a new talent. Is that what you sang for? So the thing is like that rookies have to, when they come in.
Oh, the rookie show.
Yeah. Is that what you sang for them?
Nah, I sang Sweet Thing by thanks Chaka Khan.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm an old soul.
I was going to say, that was before you were born,
I'm
I think.
Old soul, man. We used to turn the gyms on every Sunday and clean up the house. I mean, I'm an old
hey,
soul.
That's like a thing. You woke up in the morning, you heard your mom like turn.
I knew what time it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No,
it's time to clean up. Which Falcon do you spend the most time with?
The most time? I don't know, man. At this point, it might be E. Harris. You know, since we've been in, since we've been back in the building, might be E. Harris. I'm with my boy Mike a lot. Mike Ford, D. Hall. Mm-hmm. You know what? I can't even tell you, man.
Y'all
start naming everybody. You know what I mean? I start
the whole list is the secondary.
TQ everybody.
Yeah. Last one. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh, biggest pet peeve. I'm a chill guy, you know, and I don't like to let other people affect my mood. But
that was a very strong,
I do got a couple. I got a couple now.
This is the one that I feel like everybody always kind of like has to really think about.
Right. You know what? I don't like selfish drivers. So like,
selfish drivers,
when
that's
I'm in traffic,
yeah,
the people who cause the backup in traffic, mm-hmm. like cutting people off, you know what I mean? Or, it's the
so
speed limit 65, you're going,
yo,
through, like, you know what I mean? I'll just be like,
I'm not
think
joking.
About the next person. Like,
no, just
I gotta get to work.
In.
You know what I mean? I gotta get to work. I'm about to get
to love fired. That you brought this up because literally today we were talking about it and I was talking
road
about, I was so mad because when you get in the left lane, you should not be going 60 miles an hour.
Why?
In the
that's the
in
passing
the
lane.
That is
the
passing
lane.
So the fact that you said this, I feel validated in my anger.
Yeah.
So thank
nah,
you.
We together on that.
Yeah,
see?
We
together
it's
on
good.
That.
Thank God.
And we've bonded on episode 3 of Falcons and Focus.
Yeah.
Richie Grant, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
That
appreciate
was applause
y'all.
Worthy.
Appreciate
just
y'all.
Going around town.
Rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. We're going to come back to you. I don't know if you're going to be able to top Richie. That's going to be tough.
I know.
Falcons teammates, you're on notice. That was a good one.
Hey, y'all boys tighten up, huh? You know I come with it.